This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Netflix is probably the best example of utilizing data to enhance customer experiences by delivering an unmatchable UX or user experience. In fact, the Netflix model is being replicated by many new young startups. I caught up recently with Todd Yellen, he's the Vice President of Product at Netflix, to find out just exactly how they're using user data to drive their business further and delivering the best UX one could possibly have. Todd, just how much has changed throughout the years in trying to deliver the best experience to your customer as things seems to move really fast these days, unlike the days when you guys were doing DVDs?
I'll tell you one thing. Working in Silicon Valley, you're constantly exhausted. You're constantly looking behind you. And why are you looking behind you? Because innovation is getting ridiculously fast. So you have to keep on leaning forward. There's something I tell everyone on my team. I want you to lean so far forward that sometimes you fall on your face. Because if you're not falling on your face, then we're not pushing hard enough. And the worst that happens, when you do fall on your face, you stand back up, you brush yourself off, and you try something new. So we're constantly trying to push ourselves, try things new, try out what resonates with the customer, with the Netflix member. And if it works, then we release it to everyone. And if it doesn't work, wipe ourselves off and try something different.
What's been the biggest change in Netflix so far now that you've also expanded in 190 countries?
There's been endless change because when I got to Netflix, we were like taking these little silver discs, and maybe some of your listeners will remember, they're DVDs. We used to ship DVDs by the mail only in the US. We were only a website. And over the 11 years since I started Netflix, God, we've totally changed. DVDs are in the rearview mirror, have been for a long time. It's all about streaming. It's about streaming on thousands of different kinds of devices and making it convenient for the consumer. It's about streaming around the world. It's about releasing content to everyone at the same time so everyone gets it in Malaysia at the same time as they get it in Sweden, Canada, and the U.S. So if you ask me about change, my head starts spinning around in 360 degrees because a lot has changed. The world is changing very quickly.
Let's talk about the UX or the UI for Netflix. That's changed a lot as well ever since you've started doing on full internet and stopped DVD. How much of testing is being done? How do you cater to, you know, so many different types of behavior and we're accessing Netflix from different types of platforms? How do you find that sweet spot of getting the UX right?
Yeah, so I'm fortunate enough to work with some of the best product managers and designers on my team in the world. But what's most important to us is listening to the consumer, not listening to what they say. That's the mistake that many make. Like, you want to listen to what they say, but you don't want to do what they say. You want to listen to their behaviors. You want to watch their behaviors. Because people, if you start asking them what features would make Netflix better, they're going to list and list and list, and they're going to put in everything. And then what you're going to be left with is a Homer Simpson car. What does that mean? Well, if anyone watches The Simpsons out there, Homer Simpson once ran into his long-lost brother. And his long-lost brother happened to be a very successful car manufacturer. And he looked at Homer as the everyman. And he said to Homer, design me the best car you can. So Homer, of course, he has the hugest cup holders and crazy fins and crazy designs. It had every feature imaginable. And it was the most hideous car ever created. And it was a huge failure because they didn't pay attention to what the consumers do. Homer's not a good product manager. He was just, you know, what he thinks he wants. So this is how we do it at Netflix. We do a lot of, we go out there, we talk to consumers around the world. We've been here in Malaysia. We've been in Vietnam. We've been in Sweden. We've been in Brazil. We've been all over the U.S. And we listen to what they want, but we don't assume we're automatically going to put that in the product. We do a lot of large-scale A/B testing to see what consumer behavior is. What this means is if a consumer says, I need more titles on the screen. There's not enough. So we go, okay, let's test that. So out of all the Netflix members coming into the service, maybe 200,000 randomly chosen people, they don't know they're in a test, they get twice as many titles on the screen. Of course, they're smaller. Maybe another gets a third as many. Maybe some get half as many, but they're much bigger. And then we see what actually works. So they don't even know they're in a test, all these hundreds of thousands of people around the world. And we see the most important thing for Netflix. We're a subscription service, so people vote with their wallets. Do we get more people to retain who get fewer or more titles on the screen? And we maximize also by how many hours are they watching because we want to give them value. They don't even know they're participating in a test, but that tells us, it helps us home in on the best experience. That's one small thing. We've done it with all kinds of features, like when we added profiles to Netflix. Every Netflix member can have up to 5 free profiles where they can have one and their wife or their husband and their kids and so forth. How did we decide to have 5? How did we decide how to position on the service? How did we decide what features to add and not add? How simple to make it and how complex to make it? We tried like 15 different versions before we launched it. At first we thought, that would be awesome. We have to give more features to it. But sometimes that would add to more work and more confusion by the consumer. So we would take out those features. It's A-B testing.
Do you think you found a sweet spot then now?
If we found a sweet spot, and if I admit that to you, I'll be out of a job and so will my team. So I think there's a lot more work always to go to make the experience better and better. So we're constantly thinking of ideas, how to take entertainment, how to take technology, how to combine them, and how to make that into the best Netflix experience that we can.
What sort of data do you use to determine the direction of your A-B testing? What do you monitor from your user behaviors, and how do you use that into your A-B testing?
So I advise other companies to try to help them become better at A-B testing because we've been doing it. We're so addicted to that process at Netflix because it's effective at creating a better service. So what I advise to other companies that want to do A-B testing is, you don't want a lot of metrics, because then data becomes more of an art than a science. And then they go like, yeah, but it didn't move that metric, but how about over here? That was great. You could always find a story to convince yourself to do any feature that you work so hard on. You want to be more ruthless, and you want to look at it like, if that feature isn't working for our customers, get rid of it. Don't get attached to it because you personally built it and got involved in it. So we use 2 metrics in Netflix for success: retention and streaming. Retention is, people are paying every month. We're a subscription service. If they stay with us longer because we added a feature or changed a feature or simplified a feature, then it wins. If they don't stay with us longer, then it's not good. Or we look at streaming, secondary metric. If they get more value out of Netflix, and what value means from Netflix is watching more hours, if they watch more of Netflix, we know we've succeeded in making our service more compelling and better. And thus, it will be a winning test. But if it's neutral, if we didn't move those metrics, but we really love the feature, we won't roll it out. Tough. No, I'm not rolling that out until it improves things. I don't want to add complexity to the system unless it actually improves. Neutral is not a winner. That's a loser. Negative, obviously, we don't roll it out.
I'm speaking to Todd Yellin. He's the Vice President of Product at Netflix. And we're talking about using data to drive your business. And we'll continue the discussion in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
This is Tech Talk, and I'm speaking to Todd Yellin. He's the Vice President of Product at Netflix. And we're talking about how Netflix is using data to drive their business and what makes them tick. Why is Netflix model being replicated by many young startups? That's what we're talking about earlier. Todd, previously, Netflix was only available in the US and then Canada, and now 190 different countries. In terms of the UX itself, in trying to find the right balance with so many different cultures now, you've got different habits, and also accessing Netflix from different devices. You have consumers from the East now who have different styles and habits and the way they access their information. And then you have the West, which is what you've always been familiar with. How much has Netflix changed now that you're in all of these different countries?
It's made us get better at certain things, being in so many countries. So one of the things we have to get better at is we have to get really good, and we continue to improve with a lot of advanced technology and how to deal with when internet isn't that good for a customer, when they don't have great bandwidth, or when their internet is really fluctuating. It's great, and then the neighbors start all watching video online, and then it gets a lot worse. So we're getting smarter and smarter as we've gone more global in developing countries of how to deal in these situations with creating great content that doesn't need that many bits to stream, or adapting our bit rate. And it changes. If you have a lot of bandwidth, we'll show you a perfect, beautiful HD or even an ultra HD 4K picture. But if your bandwidth isn't that good, then we'll slowly degrade the picture because we're allergic to one thing: rebuffering. You're in the middle of a story and it rebuffers. No one likes that. So what we want to do is make sure that the picture stays up and will adjust the quality seamlessly so you keep on getting a good picture. I'll give you one more interesting story. Cut it if you want, but I like it. And it's about UX. That one was more about underlying bitrate. So we wondered when we started launching in a lot of countries that are very different than the US and Canada and what we're used to in North America. And so the ultimate test for us was one particular country, a country that describes itself like the Galapagos Islands, like they're on an island and they evolve differently than everyone else. And they're proud to be so different. And that's Japan. And in Japan, we looked at different internet services and we saw how they were designed and they looked a lot different from US internet services. So we were wondering, the way we design Netflix for the rest of the world, you know, we launched in Japan in September of 2015, would that work for them? So we tested something. We designed Netflix with a very Japanese model in mind, what we thought was a Japanese model, much denser than that more simplified American model of internet design. A lot more images, a lot more text, a lot more explanation, a lot more things blinging and blonging and
cramp
colors.
Up as much as you can on one page in that sense. That's the culture that they have. Right?
Yes, density, yeah. Density on everything. And we compared that, we tested that against just a cleaner, what we thought was easier to use system. And then we had no idea. I couldn't wait to see the results of that test. And it actually worked better using a simpler, cleaner system. And that proved to us that UIs, humans, and how they interact with technology is more universal than we all think. And so now if you go to Japan or what you're looking at here in Malaysia or what you see in the US, it's a consistent design. But, so you can pause there and cut right there, but I'll give you even more. Because there's always more, right, Shanta? But the next challenge is designing for different devices. What's it like designing for a touchscreen versus a mouse and keyboard versus what I call the Elrod straitjacket? Let me tell you what that is. By the way, you could say anything you want. I feel like I'm monopolizing.
I'm just fascinated by the story here.
Okay. The Elrod straitjacket is, Elrod means left, right, up, down. And so when you think of a TV UI, when you think of interacting with Netflix on a TV, whether that TV is you're interacting with Netflix because you could stream through a game console or a set-top box or right into a smart TV, is you can only move left, right,
up, and down.
Up. Yeah, you got it. See, you read my mind. Or down. And so, you know, that's a straitjacket of a UI because with touchscreen, you're swishing and swashing all over the place and you can go wherever you want. With a mouse and keyboard, you're clicking away and you can move with much more speed and accuracy with a mouse. With left, right, up, down, we have to make it seem just as easy with that, but it's not really because it's one space at a time. So the designs might look similar for Netflix when you go from a TV to a touchscreen to a mouse and keyboard, but actually, if you really study them, they're quite different. And it took a long time to figure out how to design well for a TV.
How long was long?
It goes back around 6 years when we first launched the PlayStation 3 for Netflix. And the PlayStation 3 was a great place where we can innovate and do a lot of testing that we did. And so we tested, we called it the Great Mountain Test. And we tested very different experiences on what we call a 10-foot UI. 10-foot UI is 10 feet, and that I know for you guys it would be 3 meters, is how far you sit away from a TV on average. So we wanted to see how to get the perfect UI for, let's call it the 3-meter UI, the TV UI. So for that, we tried very different models. There wasn't a lot out there at the time, but we had to just make up how to, you know, what it looked like, how to put the titles, how to arrange them. And it looks so simple, and that's the idea, but it took a lot of different testing.
And you can access Netflix from so many different types of devices, whether it's games console, whether it's smart TVs or your mobile phones, you name it. What's been among the countries that you've now have presence with, what's been the most popular device? Is it the mobile devices or is it still the TVs?
If you look globally, over 60% of all Netflix streaming is on a TV. Could be directly on the smart TV, could be through a game console, could be through a set-top box, but it's through the TV. In Asia, in general, it over-indexes a little bit more for mobile than it does in some other places around the world, in North America, South America, and Europe. And it's an important device. So just because the majority of streaming is on a TV, still, the majority of Netflix members stream on multiple devices. they'll tend to consume more hours on a TV, but they still will just as likely stream on a phone or a tablet or, you know, the laptop is usually popular still.
And it felt very aggressive when Netflix came out earlier this year to announce that, you know, it's now available in so many different countries. What was the reasoning behind this aggressive rollout?
Yeah, I'd call it more ambitious, almost foolhardy than aggressive. We weren't trying to be aggressive. We'd worked so hard being a pioneer in internet TV, and we were very excited to share it with the world. So we just figured we could keep on rolling out a few countries at the time, or we could say, the heck with it, we're going all in. It's like, picture a gambler. I'm not a gambler. Picture a gambler who just shoves all their chips to the center of the table and goes, now let's see what happens. And so we're learning a lot, and we're learning a lot here in Malaysia. So I'm here visiting Malaysia, and I'm excited to be here, to share what we're now going to put a lot of attention on, which is this country. We're going to add a lot more content. We just signed a great deal to get a lot of local TV series for Malaysia. We're working with local mobile operators here in Malaysia. We're going to work with some ISPs. So this, and it's not just Malaysia. That's just one of the, you know, top priorities right now in this region. We're working with a lot of different countries trying to get ourselves.
Which is great, because I'm going to ask you then, what's on the horizon? 2017 is approaching, and then we've seen even devices. We've got new devices that are coming into place. We've got IoT devices, and then we've also have virtual reality, augmented reality sort of taking place in the content space. What's on the horizon for Netflix in 2017? What can you surprise us with?
Well, let's be honest, it wouldn't be a surprise if I told you right now. So here's the challenge. I told you all about testing, right? So we'll have to see what does well in a test. When you talk about wearables, when you talk about virtual reality, you know, wearables not so much. I don't imagine watching Netflix on, say, a watch or on your refrigerator or another Internet of Everything.
Notifications of new episodes and so forth on devices like, you know, smartwatches and so forth?
Sure. We give notifications right now where, you know, on your phone, we tell you if there's a new episode of something that you've been watching or it's something fantastic that we know you want to watch. Virtual reality, we're looking at. You know, I keep my close eye on that. We've seen some amazing virtual reality projects that are out there. It's just, you know, we're watching the install base for virtual reality. We're watching if storytelling is really going to be sticky and watch in virtual reality. There have been some really interesting films on virtual reality, but it's not quite there yet, but we're keeping an eye on it.
Are we going to see offline mode anytime soon?
We look at a lot of different features potentially for Netflix. That's one of them because it's, you know, like I said, Homer Simpson wants everything for his perfect car. Do we give him everything? No, we want to make sure it works for the consumer. So there's a lot of different features, and offline is one of them that we're looking at right now.
I've been speaking to Todd Yellin. He's the Vice President of Product at Netflix. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.